ஸ்ரீகுருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. அதாதோ தர்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா, அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா, ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஹ சாஸ்த்ரயோ நித்வாத் தத்து சமன்வயாத். I don't know why I started with Atato Dharma Jignyasa today, reminding us of our dharma all the time, I guess. Anyway, so in the last class, we were analyzing the meaning of the word tu in Tattu Samanvayat. And Shankaracharya points out that the word tu indicates the negation of all the Purva Pakshas. So we have established Brahman is the subject matter of Vedanta, and all other Astika Darshanas who don't agree with our view, they are all Purva Pakshas. We said all that in the class. And we have been seeing the views of Purva Mimamsaka and Jaimini Maharishi, a disciple of Vyasacharya himself. He has written the Jaimini Sutras, 2000 Sutras in 12 chapters. And we also saw the Sabara Swami's commentary, Bhashyam, on this is called the Sabara Bhashyam. And Shankaracharya even likes these works. And the Vedantin's only contention is Purva Mimamsa itself will not give moksha. So there were sub-commentaries and of Sabara Bhashyam by two scholars. And the two commentators of Sabara Bhashyam are, one is Kumarila Bhattaha and another one is Prabhakara. So they wrote commentaries with slight differences. And Kumarila Bhatta presented a commentary in Vartika and presented Bhatta Madam through his commentary. It gives a new version of Purva Mimamsa. And Prabhakara, also through his prose commentary, he presents a version of Purva Mimamsa called Prabhakara Madam. And we saw up to this in the last class. Thus, we have got two types of Purva Mimamsakas. The Adi Shankaracharya negates both of them. And now let us see what are their views or their matams. First, we will talk about the basic rules of Purva Mimamsa, common to both the matams, Bhatta matam and Prabhakara matam. And then we will see the difference between them. The entire Veda or the Vedic statements can be broadly classified into two types. They are called Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani and Karya Bodhaka Vakyani. And Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani means those statements which talk about sheer facts. And Karya Bodhaka Vakyani are those statements of commandments or injunctions persuading the people to do action. They will be all in imperative modes. So through statements of fact, we will get the knowledge alone, whereas statement of action or commandment leads one to do an action. So one leads to jnanam and the other leads to action. And the Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam gives knowledge, but it will not help to accomplish anything. Jnanam does not give any purushartha. Therefore, it is utterly useless according to the Purva Pakshis. So by knowing there is a heaven, for example, what is the use for me? This knowledge neither gives me sukha prapti nor dukkha nivritti. In fact, after gaining the knowledge, one becomes even more miserable when it does not give any benefit to oneself. Therefore, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas, they are considered useless by them. What use is it to just to know Aham Brahmasmi and Vedadhi Jnanam? Whereas Karya Bodhaka Vakyas, they make you do something to get some Purushartha in the form of Dukkha Nivritti or Sukha Prapti. For example, knowledge of medicine does not give me any benefit, but the consumption of medicine alone helps me. Action of consuming alone gives me the benefit. So also the knowledge of heaven or swarga, by just knowing what there is swarga, what is the use? On the other hand, if I do Jyotishtoma Yaga as directed by the Karya Bodhaka Vakyam, that will lead to swarga loka. either it helps in dukkha nivritti or sukha prapti. So from the above, we derive that any amount of Vedantic study will not give any benefit, since Vedantic study does not lead anyone to do any action according to that. So both the matams, they agree that action alone will give benefits and not knowledge. Both the matam means what? Both Bhatta matam and also Prabhakara matam. Purva Mimamsakas, they agree with other Astikas that Veda is Pramanam, unlike the Bhautas. Because Bhautas, they don't consider Veda as Pramanam. But Purva Mimamsakas, they agree. So Pramana means what? They have got a definition for Pramanam also. What is considered to be a Pramanam? For that, they have a definition. What is that? Anadigata, Abhadita, Arthabhotakam, Pramanam. Anadigata, Abhadita, Arthabhotakam, Pramanam. Veda is a revealer of something, which is, there is condition one, Anadigatam. That should not have been revealed by other pramanams. For example, like your eyes, tongue, or any other pramanam, skin, other logic, science, none of them would have revealed that. It is not revealed by any of them. So it is anadigatam. And to enjoy the pramanam status, Veda should reveal something that is beyond even science and all other pramanams. Simply put, unrevealed by anything else. And second one is abhaditam. Something which is not contradicted by other pramanams. Veda shouldn't reveal anything that contradicts other pratyaksha pramanas also. It should not contradict logic also. It should be beyond logic. It should not be illogical. So it should be uncontradicted, unrevealed by any other pramana. Here the Purva Mimamsaka adds one more condition. Vedantins accept that condition also, but not particular about that. But for the Purva Mimamsaka, that is very important. And what is that? He says, Anadikatam, Abaditam, Palavate, Arthabodakam. Palavate means is the third condition, Saprayojanam. It should have utility. It should be useful. Therefore, what are the three conditions for a Pramanam now? That which reveals something useful, that is unrevealed, it should be uncontradicted by other pramanas, and it should be useful. So we have said that the statements of fact, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas, are useless, and statements of commandments, Artha Bodhaka Vakyas, are useful. That's what according to them. So bringing that idea, we come to the conclusion, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani are apramanani, not pramanam, useless, not palavad. Whereas Karyabodhaka Vakyas are useful. Therefore, they fulfill the three conditions according to them. Therefore, they are Pramana. So what we have seen so far among the three points. One is Veda Vakyani Vividani, Siddha Bodhaka and Karyabodhaka Vakyani. Veda Vakyas are two types, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas and Karyabodhaka Vakyas. Tayor Madhye, among them, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani Aprayojanani, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas are useless. And Karya Bodhaka Vakyani, Saprayojanani, they are useful. And third condition is Siddha Bodhaka Vakyani, Aprayojanatvatu, Apramanani. Because they are not useful, they are not Pramana. Karya Bodhaka Vakyani, Saprayojanatu, Pramanani. Because they give use some utility is there, they are considered Pramana. So all these have been revealed in one important Jaimini Sutram, which is the key Sutram of Purva Mimamsakas, like the Tattu Samanvaya Sutram of Veda Vyasa, the one that we are studying now. So that key Purva Mimamsakas key Sutram is what? Amnayasya Kriyartatvatu Anarthakyam Adadartanam. So what does it means? Amnaya means Veda. Amnayasya means Vedasya in Veda. What is very important? Kriyartatvat, Karya Bodhakatvat, statements of injunctions being important. Why? Only through them only one can gain something. Anarthakyam, all other statements are apramanam, not pramanam. All of them are useless, invalid. And what are they? Atadarthana, siddha bodhaka vakyana. All other statements of facts are invalid. Simply put, statements of commandments alone are valid, while statements of facts are invalid as a pramanam. All these are based on what? Jaimini's Purvamimamsa Sutra. And he says the entire Jnana Kanda deals with Siddha Vastu, and it talks about Atma, and it does not talk about any karma to perform. Jnana Kanda gives knowledge only. By knowing nature of Brahman, I don't get any benefit, as our knowledge is Siddha Bodha Vakya. And such knowledge is compared to a barren land without any use. Vedanta is compared to a barren land, and Karma Kanda is supposed to be a fertile land. All these ideas Jaimini presents in one important sutra, namely Amnayasyam Kriyarthatvatim Anarthakyam Adadanartham Adadarthana. So Karya Bodhaka Vakyas are useful and Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas are useless. Okay. Up to this, we have seen this as a Purvamimamsa's approach. And he takes to a new problem also now. He accepts the whole Veda as Pramanam. He says it is Aporishayam. It does not have any defect. And therefore it is a defect-free Pramanam. We accept God as revealer of Vedas. But the Purvamimamsa does not believe God. And they say Vedas are ultimate. For them, Vedas enjoy the status of God. If God did not reveal the Veda, how Veda came? For this they say, Vedas are anadi and it never came as such. Anadi Veda, apaurusheya Veda, he accepts as pramana. He says, the Siddha Bodhaka Vakyams of Vedas have become apramanam, not pramanam. If you accept the whole Vedas as pramanam, what is our argument? If you accept the whole Vedas as pramanam, how can you negate part of the Vedas as apramanam? If you ask that question to a Purvapakshi, he says, when I say Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas are apramanam, it means directly they are not pramanam. It means indirectly they are useful like signs. Siddha Bodhaka Vakyams are indirectly useful. All such Vakyams help in the implementation of Karya Bodhaka Vakyas. For example, when Veda glorifies Swargam, we get the desire to go to Swarga. Once the desire comes, we act and do Jyotishtomayaga to gain moksha. Swarga Vatala. So in Kriya Bodha Vakyam, Karya Bodha Vakyam, and for doing it only, we read Siddha Bodha Vakyam. That is their argument. Swarga glorification helps in the implementation of Karya Bodha Vakyam, of performing, for example, Jyotishtomayaga to get heaven. Here, Pramanam is useful according to them. So after Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam, it says one should do a ritual or offering to, for example, Vayu Devata. It is Karya Bodhaka Vakyam if you do that. So Karya Bodhaka Vakyams are effective only with Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas, because you gain the knowledge through them and you do an action and gain moksha or whatever phalam it is. So Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas followed by Karya Bodhaka Vakyams are very useful. So Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas are Sesham and Karya Bodhaka Vakyas are called Seshi. We went through the Sesha Seshi earlier. So by joining together, the entire Vedas become Pramana. Entire Jnana Kanda consisting of Siddha Bodhaka Vakyams are useful. All Veda Vakyams are linked to one Karya Bodhaka Vakyam or the other. And what about Brahman then? Either connects Brahman to a Devata or some Karta or the other, according to them. They don't accept any Brahman. They connect Brahman to some Devata or some Karta, Yajamana. People say Vedanta should be put to practice. In all the Upanishads, Brahman has been revealed. And they say that there is no such a thing like Brahman at all. It is only a Brahma, according to them. According to Purvamimamsakas, Brahman nasti. In both the matams, that is Bhatta matam and Prabhakara matam, there is no such thing called Brahman. He says, Veda will not reveal Brahman because Veda is utterly useless. What is the benefit of Brahman as the Purvapakshi? Because Brahman is neither attainable nor knowable. In what way Brahman is useful when made non-available? Some people are not useful, but sometimes they are useful as an instrument. This is another case for attaining something else. Brahman is avyavakaram. Brahman doesn't reside no vyavakaram at all. It is not available for any transaction. That means it cannot be a subject, object, or any locus. It is not karta, it is not karanam. It is neither an end nor means to attain an end. Therefore, Purvapaksha concludes Brahman nasti. It is all their arguments. And what about Atmajnanam? Self-jnanam is also useless according to them. You accept it as self-evident, and why Veda should reveal what is already self-evident, already known? A pramana should reveal which is not known otherwise. Since Atma is already evident, why should Veda reveal what is already evident? Is that question? Then what is the use of Vedanta? Whenever Atma is talked about, you should take it as glorifying statement only, glorifying the Yajamana of a ritual. They are all Arthavada Vakyams. By this, Yajamana will do the rituals. When you glorify him, he will do rituals. Similarly, by saying, you are Shuddham, you are Satyam, and all that thing to the Yajamana, one will be very happy. And he will work much more properly. So Atma Bodhaka Vakyas should be taken as Yajamana Stuti only. Whereas Brahman is talked, we should know that is no such thing called Brahman, but should be taken as glorification of Yaga Devatas so that one is encouraged to do Yagas. Devatas Tuti Para Vakyani. So all Jnanakandas, Jnanakanda and Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas should be connected to Karya Bodhaka Vakyas. Then to which Karya that is their argument. And the doubt that will arise now is, to which Karya Bodhaka Vakyam one should connect? Is there any rule of connection? Which Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam should be connected to what Karya Bodhaka Vakyam? On this point, Kumarila Bhatta Madam and Prabhakara Madam, they disagree. Up to this, they travel together. Here, they disagree. How to connect them? There is disagreement between them. And the Bhatta Madam says, all Jnanakanda Vakyas should be connected to Karma Kanda Vidhi Vakyam, called Kriya Vakyani. Prabhakara does not accept that. This is what Bhatta Madam says. Prabhakara does not accept that. So here there is a difference between them. He says, if one connects any Siddha Vakya, Siddha Bodhaka Vakya, with any Karya Bodhaka Vakya, it will be messy. And therefore should observe some rule. You cannot connect anything with anything else. So there should be some rule. And what is the rule? Any Siddha Vakya should be connected to the nearest Karya Bodhaka Vakya. Therefore, he says, Kumarala Bhatta is wrong, saying connecting Jnanakanda Vakyam or Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam, which is at the end, because Vedanta is at the end of the Vedas, with Karmakanda Vakyam, which is the beginning, there is a big distance between them. He calls it as Prakarana Bedaha. Another technical term, Prakarana Bedaha. Totally away from each other. When the Siddha Vakyas of Jnanakanda are connected to Karya Vakyas of Karmakanda, therefore he suggests an alternative solution also. Instead of just only saying that's not correct, he gives a solution also. He says, in the Jnanakanda itself, there are many Upasana Vakyams. And Upasanas are also Karya Bodhaka Vakyams only, because Upasana is something to be implemented and it is Manasam Karma. It is an action done by the mind. Therefore, he says, instead of connecting Siddha Vakyam of Jnanakanda with the Karya Vakyam of Karmakanda, connect Siddha Vakyas of Jnanakanda to the Upasana Vakyas existing within Jnanakanda itself. Therefore, he says, all the Brahma Bodhaka Vakyam, Brahma Siddha Bodhaka, Jnana Bodhaka, they are all same, should be connected to the Upasanas prescribed by the Jnanakanda of Vedanta. For example, Atma Ityeva Upasita. We already saw that in the Upanishad. ஆத்ம இத்தியவ உபாசித்த ஆத்மா உபாசனம் குரு பிரம்மவித் ஆப்னோதி பரம் பிரம்மவித் ஹியர் இன் தர் கேஸ் பிரம்மவித் வில் பி ஷுட் பி டேக்கன் அஸ் பிரம்ம உபாசகா the one who does upasana on brahman and not the one who knows brahman he does upasana of brahman sayo havai tat paramam brahma vedam brahmaiva bhavati so what should we do aham brahma asmi iti upasanam kartavyam so what should we practice day in and day out go on telling aham brahma asmi aham brahma asmi aham brahma asmi all that is there something called brahman no such thing According to them, there is no such thing called Brahman, but they will go on doing the upasana, saying, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. So it is an auto-suggestion, conditioning of the mind. It is like brainwashing. Aham Nitya Shuddha, Aham Nitya Buddha. Here Swamiji jokingly says, he says, Aham Nitya Buddha, Nitya Buddha, Nitya Buddha, even though I am really a Buddha. Without understanding what it is, he is going on doing that upasana. I know. That's what he is thinking. So instead of admitting, I am Nitya Buddhu, I say, I am Nitya Buddha. Practice such an upasana. This is how the Siddha Bodha Vakyam should be validated by them. It is a upasana to be regularly practiced without understanding what it really means. Now let us see how the Siddhanta refutes Purva Mimamsa in the form of Purva Pakshi. These two Purva Pakshas, how Siddhanta Vedantins, they refute them. We have to see that. And the first point is, all Siddha Bodhaka Vakyams alone, according to them, it's all useless. So Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam is statement of fact and Karya Bodhaka Vakyams are statement of action that we have already defined. Karma alone gives result in the form of sukha prapti or dukkha nivritti. Shankaracharya says, yes, you are right. It is a general rule. But there are exceptions to that rule. What is the general rule? Karma alone, action alone gives result in the form of sukha prapti, either sukham or dukkha nivritti, removal of sorrow. He says that rule is correct rule, it's a general rule. But there are exceptions. Normally, knowledge does not give any benefit. For example, by knowing yogasanas, it will not give me any benefit. And one has to implement the knowledge for yoga to give benefit. Karma alone is purushartha sadhanam. For dharma, artha, kama, all those can be achieved through karma only. There are exceptions where through kevala jnanam alone, only by jnanam, without requiring any action, one can get the benefits. So wherever there is problem due to ignorance, mere knowledge alone can solve it. So no action is needed. Mere knowledge alone. Yatra yatra ajnanate dukkham va karyam va bhavati tatra tatra jnanate prayojanam bhavati. In the case of, for example, Mount Kailas, Manasarovar and all that, the problem is not because of ignorance. I know where it is in the map. All those things I know. But one has to take action to go to Kailas Manasarovara to experience that. Therefore, in the case of problems caused by sheer ignorance, what I require is knowledge. Just as in the rope snake example, our popular example, rope snake examples, all problems of bhayam, fear, because it's a snake, and palpitation, all those agitation, are due to rope or rajju ajnanam. If fear has to go, what homa or upasana a person has to do? If he thinks the rope is a snake, to remove that fear, should he have to do some big yajna? No. Karma and upasana will not solve the problem. What one requires is what? Rajju jnanatim. Rajju ajnana nivrittihi. By knowing the rajju, this rope, then by knowing that, the rajju ignorance goes away. Rajju ajnana nivrittiya, by removing the ajnanam of the rope, sarpa adhyasa nivrittihi. The snake adhyasa, superimposition, that goes away. And sarpa adhyasa nivrittiya, by removing that, this snake adhyasa, Bhaya Kampadi Nivrittihi, all those palpitations and bhayam, they all go away. So here the very knowledge is sufficient to get rid of bhayam, fear. So what we say is, there are many cases where ajnanam is source of problem, where we require knowledge alone to solve the problem. Therefore, Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas give knowledge and they are very useful. Where Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas does not give benefit, then it may be joined with Karya Bodhaka Vakya. This is the general rule. Now the question is what? Do Vedanta Vakyams fall in the exceptional category or in the general category? That is the question. We say means Vedantin say, Vedanta Vakyas do give prayojanam directly without any action being necessary. They give prayojanam directly without any action. We say Vedanta itself is pramanam for that. It makes it clear, jnanam alone is sufficient to gain moksha. In every Upanishad it is said. We got lot of examples after finishing all the Dasha Upanishads. We can quote from any of them in Ishavasya Upanishad. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivam abhut vijanataham tatra ko mohaham kaha shokaham ekatvam anupashyata. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva abhut vijanataha. When to the knower, all beings have become one in his own self, Atman, Tatram, Ko Mohaha, Kaha Shokaha. How shall he feel deluded thereafter? What grief can there be to him? Ekatvam Anupashyata, who sees everywhere oneness. When a person clearly knows Atman, after that knowledge, where is Dukkha or where is Moha for him? And also in Keno Upanishad, Pratibodha Viditam Matam, Amrutattvam hi vindati, Atmana vindate viryam, vidyayam vindate amrutam. Indeed, a person attains immortality, amrutattvam hi vindate. Who? Pratibodha viditam matam. Who intuits in it? In and through every modification of the mind. Atmana vindate viryam. Through the Atman, one attains the real strength viryam. And vidyaya vindate amrutam. Through knowledge only, amrutam, immortality. When it is known through every state of cognition, it is rightly known. Since by such knowledge, one attains immortality, moksha. Through one's own self, one gains power. So vidyaya vindate vidya. So without an iota of action, one attains immortality. And again, Kathopanishad. Eko vashim. Sarva Bhutantaratma Ekam Rupam Bahuda Yaha Karoti Tam Atmastam Yonu Pashyanti Dhiraha Tesham Sukham Shashvatam Na Itaresham. Eko Vashi Sarva Bhutantaratma, that one supreme ruler, the soul of all Vashi, Ekam Rupam Bahuda Yakaroti, who makes his own form manifold, Bahuda. Tam atmastam enu pashyanti dhiraha. Those wise people who perceive him as existing in their own self, that Atman, tesham sukham shashvatam. For them, the happiness is eternal. Shashvatam sukham. Na itaresham, to nobody else. The one who clearly recognizes Atman, he gains moksha. Again in Mundaka Upanishad. Sayoha vaitatim paramam brahma veda brahmaiva bhavati nasyam abrahma vikul brahmavit kule bhavati nasyam abrahmavit kule bhavati tarati shokam tarati papmanam guha grantibhyaham vimuktaham amruto bhavati saha Yoha vaitat paramam brahma veda. He who knows the supreme Brahman. Brahmaiva bhavati. He becomes Brahman. And na asya abrahmavit kule bhavati. In his abrahmavit kule na asya bhavati. In his family, none who knows not the Brahman, who is not a Brahmajnani, will never be born. Look at the assurance Upanishad gives. Blank check. Tarati shokam, tarati papmanam. He crosses all grief shokam, crosses all sins. Guha Grantibhyaha Vimuktaha Amrutaha Bhavati, being free from all the knots of the Hridaya Granthi, becomes immortal. And Mandukya, very beautiful. Samvishati Atman Atmanam Ya Evam Veda, one who knows Atma, Saham Atmana Atmanam Samvishati, Jivatma Paramatmanam Samvishati. By what? Not by karma or upasana. Yaha evam veda, just by knowing that, by mere knowledge. And Taittiriya, very calm, common quotation. Yo veda nihitam guha yam paramebhyo manne soho shnute sarvan kama ansaha. Yaha veda nihitam guha yam, one who knows Brahman as the Atma in the heart, indweller of the heart. He fulfills all the purushartha, sarvan kama ansaha. And Taittiriya Upanishad, prajnanam Brahma, it's a Mahavakya. That itself is there. Consciousness is Brahman. Chandogya, we saw it recently. Tarati Shokam Atmavite. The knower of the self, the Atma, crosses over all sorrows. One need not do any action at all. The knower of the self is enough. Brahmagyani. Then Brihadaranya, which we recently saw. Atmanam Chet Vijaniyatam Ayamasmidi Purushaham Kimichan Kasya Kamayam Shariram Anusamjvaretam. One who has known Atma, what desire, action, or suffering he will have in his life. So all the 10 Upanishads have all said. And then Kaivalya Upanishad, Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam, Sarva Bhutani Chatmanim, Sampashyan Brahma Paramam Yati, Nanyenu Hetuna. Nanyena Hetuna. Nanyena Hetuna. By merely knowing Brahman, one attains moksha. And Purusha Suktam, Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam Adityavarnam Tamasastu Pare Sarvani Rupani Vichityadhiraha Namani Krutva Vivadane Yadaste Tamemam Vidvanamrita Ihabhavati Nanyapanta Ayanaya Vidyate. Experiencing one's own Atma self in all beings and all beings in the self alone, one attains the highest Brahman. And not by any other means, na anya panta. By knowing Brahman, one gains moksha. These are not the only statements. Vedas are throughout Upanishads, always they all have such statements. So many more. So if Upanishads are not sufficient, one wants to Gita also, one can go to Bhagavad Gita. Na dhatte kashyachit papam, na chaiva sukritam vibhuhum, ajnane navritam jnanam, tena muhyanti jantavaha. Jnane natu tada jnanam, yesham nashitam atmanaha, tesham adityava jnanam, prakashayati tatparam. All the problems are caused by ignorance, avidya. And therefore, what is required is only self-knowledge. The Shruti, Puranam, Itihasa, Prakarana Granthas, Smriti, all of them, they say what you require is knowledge only, and through knowledge you can gain moksha. And therefore Vedanta Vakyas are Siddha Bodhaka Vakyas, and it produces knowledge, and with that one can get the Purushartha, namely the Moksha Purushartha. Therefore Vedanta Vakyani Pramana Vakyani. That is how Acharya establishes. And there are several instances, and the entire Upanishads and other Granthas are full of instances supporting that, as we saw just now. Knowledge alone gives moksha, and Vedantic knowledge alone gives liberation. This one point. And next, another point is, the Purvapakshi said, after studying Vedanta, one has to use that knowledge to perform action. Because mere knowledge is useless, we already saw. Mere knowledge of Swargam will not take me to Swargam. To get benefit, one has to use that knowledge to do some karma according to Bhatta Mata, Kumarila Bhatta's Mata. Or Upasana one has to do. That is Prabhakara Mata. Shankaracharya says there is nothing more ridiculous than that. To say Vedanta Jnanam should be connected to karma and Upasana, it is impossible. Earlier we said, it need not be connected because Vedanta gives the benefit. Now we say Vedanta Jnanam cannot be connected with karma and upasana. And Shankaracharya gives a lot of reasons, and he says Number one, Vedanta Jnanam eliminates duality, the basis for karma and upasana. Tat kenakam pashyet neha nanasti kinchana yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva abhut. Everywhere we find atmaiva abhut, atman only everywhere. So upasana also requires, what are the things? Upasyam, upasakam, vedaha. There is a bedam between upasyam, what is on meditated upon, and the upasaka, who meditates upon. So karma also require kartra and karanadi bedas. Kartra should be there, somebody, the one, the doer, and there are so many karanas. Vedanta knocks off all the duality. And after knowledge of Advaitam, how can Advaita Jnanam be applied in the field of Dvaitam? If one says, I am applying Advaita Jnana in the field of Dvaitam, Swamiji says, actually he gives a Malayalam statement. Ajnanam ennadu jnanariyam manjalu pole veluthirukkam. I know what is kalariyam, it's Malayalam, he says. Kalariyam means this anjanam, the eye tax, the people put in the eyes. How it is, this person says, I know it is white in color like the turmeric powder. That means this person does not know black, white and yellow also. He doesn't know any all the three. Similarly, if I apply Advaita knowledge to karma, it's a contradiction in turn. And the next point, in Vedanta Jnanam, Vedanta negates kartrutvam and varnashrama status of a person, which are essential for karma. All karma requires two basic qualifications. One is karta, you need to, an ajmana should be there, karta. And two, a varna is specific. For example, a brahmana alone is qualified for certain actions. Brahmanaha brihaspati savena yajeta. There is a rule. There is a yaga called brihaspati savam that can be performed only by a brahmana, not by a kshatriya. Whereas Raja, Rajasuyena Yajeta, Rajasuya Yaga should be, Yaga should be performed only by a Raja, not a Brahmana. So I have to keep both the Varna and the Ashrama status. So what Grahastha can do, Brahmachari cannot. What one can do, the other Ashrami cannot. Actually in Dashashloki, Acharya says, Navarna, Navarna, Shramachara Dharma, Name dharana dhyana yoga dayopi anatma shrayaham mamadhyasahanat tadeko vasishtaha shivakevaloham. Having negated kartrutvam and varnashrama status, how can it be combined with karma and upasana, which require kartrutvam, doership? The second point. And the third point, Acharya says, is Vedanta positively condemns karma and upasana as bandha hetuhu, binding. Plava hete adhridha yajna rupaha ashtadashoktam avaram yeshu karma yeta chreyo yevinandanti mudaha jara mrityumte unare vapiyanti. In Mundaka Upanishad, those who hold on to karma hoping to get liberation are all mudaha. They will go to Sargaloka, come back to Manishaloka, and then again they may go to Sargaloka, again they come back to Manishaloka. This cycle continues without getting liberation. Therefore, after Vedanta Jnanam, a person will lose Purusharthatva Buddhi in karma. Therefore, how is it possible to connect Vedanta Jnanam to karma? Similarly, Upasana also. Na karmana, na prajaya, dhanena, tyage, naike, amrtatva manashiho. After saying karma cannot give moksha, how can one say, therefore do karma? Therefore, Veda will never say that. Vedanta vijnana sunishchitartaha sannyasa yogat yatayaham shuddha sattvaha. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, also 18th chapter, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyaha moksha ishyami maashucha. Vedanta jnanam is contradictory to karma. Therefore, it can never be combined. therefore you cannot connect Vedanta, that is Siddha Bodhaka Vakyam, to Karya Bodhaka Vakyam. In Karmakanda, Vayurvai Kshepishta Devata, Vayurvai Kshepishta Devata, etc. All those mantras are there. One may connect all of them, but not to Vedanta. And the fourth point is, Purvamimamsaka said, Brahman is not at all there. But Acharya says, Vedanta reveals Brahman. Therefore, Brahma Asti. So what are the arguments in his favor? Because instead of just saying a statement, Acharya should give the arguments in his favor for Brahma Asti. To find out what is revealed by Shastra, you have a norm. This is called Shadlingas. Therefore, through Shadlinga analysis, whatever is revealed, one has to accept. And one has to clearly show, applying the Shadlingas, that Brahman is revealed by Shastram. So how can you say that Brahman is not there? Then you have to negate Swarga also. Because you accept Swarga on what basis? Not that anybody has gone and seen that, but because it was revealed in the Vedas. Because Veda says Brahman is existent and Brahman is revealed by Shastram, how can you say Brahman is non-existent when you accept Swarga is existent? Both are said by the Vedas. Therefore, first argument is Brahma Asti. Vedantam Tatparya Vishayatvat. And then second argument is, you say, Purupakshi say, Brahman is not, because it is neither useful as an end nor means. Because Vedanta says Brahman is not a goal. Vedanta says Brahman is not a goal to achieve in future. Sadhanam or means, it is neither sadhanam nor means. So sadhya sadhana vilakshanam Brahman. It is not sadhyam, it is not sadhanam. Therefore, if you say Brahman is not there, because everything in creation is either a goal or at least a means. In creation, if you take anything, they are either something to be achieved or a means to achieve something else. If Brahman is something different from your goal and your means, then what is Brahman? It is the very sadhaka. Therefore, by negating sadhya and sadhana status, Upanishad says, you, the sadhaka, you are Brahman, tattvam asi. If you say Brahman is non-existent, that means sadhaka is not there. I am not there if I say Brahman is non-existent. Asan nevasa bhavati, asad brahmeti veda chet. Taittiriya Upanishad. That means you, the sadhaka, are not there. That's what it means. So I may say that you have no mind, but you are there. There are three things in creation, namely sadhaka, sadhya, and sadhana. When Brahman is not sadhya and sadhana, Brahman should be sadhaka, the Atman, Aham, Brahma, Asmi. Therefore, Brahman is existent as Atman, Atma Rupena, Brahma, Asti. Then one more point also Acharya says, but the Purvapakshi said, if Brahman is the very Atma, I, then why should Shastra reveal? Because Atma is ever evident. If Brahman is the very Atma, I, why should be revealed? What is ever evident as Aham, Aham, Aham iti, Shastra need not reveal. Further, Shankaracharya says, Yadyapi Atma Prasiddha, Parantu Jivatma Rupena Prasiddha. This Atma, even though it is very well known, self-evident, it is well known as what? Jivatma Rupena. It is well known as the Jivatma. But it is not clearly understood as Paramatma. Therefore, Adhyastha Jivatma Rupena Eva Prasiddha. As a superimposed, Paramatma superimposed as Jivatma alone, it is in that form only it is Prasiddha, Natu Paramatma Rupena, not as Paramatma. Ahankara Rupena Prasiddha, Natu Sakshi Rupena. As Ahankara it is known, it is understood, it is known, but not as the Sakshi. Tvampada Vachyartha Rupena Prasiddha, Natu Tvampatham Lakshyartha Rupena, not as the Vachyartham, the implied meaning and the direct and the literal meaning. Therefore, Shastra has to reveal Atma as Paramatma. Therefore, Brahma asti, and that Brahman is I am. And this knowledge is sufficient because it gives me the Purushartha. What is the Purushartha? Moksha Purushartha. And one more point also Acharya emphasizes. The Purva Mimamsaka said, Karma Kanda alone is Pramana and Jnana Kanda cannot be Pramana by itself and it can be Pramana only by joining Karma Kanda. That is what the Purva Mimamsaka argues. He said, Karma Kanda is like a flower and Jnana Kanda is like a thread. Normally, nobody keeps the mere thread, string. But associated with the flower only, the string gets value. Karma Kanda is the flower. It is Svata Pramana, valid, useful. And so it is Mukhya. And Jnana Kanda does not have any independent validity or value. Therefore, it has to hold on to the tail of the Karma Kanda flower to get validity. This is Karma Kandi's argument. Vedantins, now they give an offensive argument in this case. Up to this, they were defending. Now they are giving an offensive argument. The Vedantin says, in fact, it is the other way around. Karma Kanda is apramanam, Jnana Kanda alone is pramanam. Karma Kanda gets the validity because of its association with Jnana Kanda. How will you prove it? And they said, the Purvapakshi himself says, what is the definition of pramanam? We already read the shloka earlier. Anadigatam, abaditam, saprayojanam, arthabodakam, pramanam. It should reveal something new, anadigatam. It should reveal something which is not negated by other pramanam, abaditam. And it should be saprayojanam, it should be useful. We have proved Vedanta is pramanam because it reveals something new, namely aham brahma asmi. It's a new knowledge. And it is abaditam. It is never negated by any other pramanam and saprayojanam. It is very useful. How? Jiva Bhava will go and Brahma Bhava will come. And Brahma Bhavohi Mokshaha. By owning up Brahmatvam, I gain moksha. One gets moksha. Therefore, Jnana Kanda is pramanam because it fulfills all conditions. And what about Karma Kanda then? Does Karma Kanda fulfill all the three conditions? First, you claim, Purvapakshi's claim, it reveals something new, namely Punyam, Papam, Swargaloka, all that thing. Because Karma Kanda tells all that. By doing good karma, you get Punyam. By doing bad karma, you get Papam. And if you do a lot of Punya karmas, you can go to Swargaloka, all that it says. And also Saprayojanam, because it gives Dharma, Artha, Kama, all those Purusharthas it gives. But now, if we ask the question, whether it fulfills the second condition, it should not be negated by any other condition. Does it fulfill that condition? It does not. It does not fulfill that condition because Karma Kanda is negated by the Jnana Kanda of the Veda itself. How? Because Karma Kanda reveals duality, which is the main theme of Karma Kanda. It talks about plurality. It talks about karta, karma, karanam, adhikaranam, sampradanam, phalam, pluralities, all of pluralities. And what does Jnana Kanda talk about? Neha nanasti kinchana. There is no plurality at all in Jnana Kanda. It talks of non-dual Brahman alone, which you call as plurality. Brahmaiva tad amritam purastad brahma paschat brahma dakshinatascham uttarena. And then what about duality? Upanishad says, Yatrava Anyadivashyatim Tatra Anyaha Anyaha Pashyet, where there is seeming duality, then alone one sees plurality everywhere. Yatra Sarvam Atmaiva Abhut Tatra Kena Kam Pashyet. When one recognizes Atma everywhere, where is the question of duality? So from these two, it is very clear that Ajnana Kale Dvaitam and Jnana Kale Advaitam. And whatever obtains at the time of Ajnanam is Pramanam or Apramanam then? Valid or invalid? Suppose we say, Ajnanakale sarpaha, jnanakale rajjuho. At the time of ignorance, there is snake. The same rope only. At the time of ignorance, we say there is snake. And at the time of knowledge, there is rope. So now, if you ask which is valid, that statement itself indicates that sarpa, snake is mithya, invalid. Therefore, karmakanda reveals invalid duality, which obtains at the time of ignorance. And therefore, karmakanda is apramana. Not only that, there is another interesting argument also. Anyaha asau anyaha aham giti saha na veda. One who says, I am different, that means one who sees dvaitam, he does not know. Not only that, saha devanam pashuhu. It's a nice method of scolding. We saw this statement when we read the Upanishad. He is foolish. He doesn't know he is ignorant. Therefore, whoever sees this kind of a difference, he is ignorant. So whether it is valid or invalid, it is invalid baditam. It is not abaditam, it is baditam. That being so, karma kandasya baditvate apramanatvam. If at all it should get validity, now see it is reversed. Karma kanda has now become thread and jnana kanda has become the flower. Karma kanda has to be associated with jnana kanda. Then the next question will be, if karmakanda is apramanam, in what way it will be useful for jnanakanda? We say jnanakanda sadhanatvena karmakandasya pramanyam. Karmakanda does not have its own validity, but as a means to come to jnanakanda, karmakanda is very useful. And the next question is, how karmakanda will help as a means to help jnanakanda? We say it's useful. Karmakanda is useful only by giving sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, which is the pre-qualification for adhikaritvam. Therefore, Vedantins say karmakanda is not meant for dharmartha kama, because we don't consider dharmartha kama as purushartas at all in Vedanta, and they are only exalted samsara only. It is like a politician's A-class prison. Prison is a prison. We only tempt other people to go to karmakanda, and it is only to gain vairagyam. For vairagyam alone, swarga, grihastashrama, house, brahmaloka, family, position, possession, all that are all prescribed. But immature people will not understand, and therefore for the vairagyam pill, we will coat it with sugar. And dharmartha kama status is only a sugar coating. Similarly, all other purusharthas are prescribed in the Vedas. It says they are all wonderful, wonderful ideas. But what is the intention? Go there, get whipped up, and want to run away. Therefore, karmakanda kimartham. Superficially, dharmarthanartham. But really, it is only to get sadhana chaturtaya sampatti. Karmakanda is prescribed. So having got kicked off sufficiently here and there, and having got vairagyam, one comes to jnanakanda. Therefore, the first sutra, atha ato brahma jignasa, that atha means karmakanda dwaram vairagya siddhi anantaram, after getting vairagyam through karmakanda, after gaining vairagyam, ataha brahma jignasa, then at that time do the brahman inquiry. Do you have the pramanam for it? That question also he asked. Puru Pakshi asked that question. Do you have a pramanam? You say, like, fine, where is the promotion? Pramanam. For that it says, pariksha lokan karmachitan. Mundaka Upanishad, we saw that vakyam. Having experienced fully pariksha lokan, left, right and center, all benefits of karma and upasana, brahmaloka pariyantam sarvam pratyaksha anumana upamana agama pramanaihi parikshaham dukkha sadhanatvena nischitya apurushartatvena nirniya. One should very clearly know, by going through all these parikshas, one should go very clearly know everything other than moksha is maha samsara. Nirveda Mahara. One should get Vairagya. If someone says, I have not got Vairagya, then what you should do? Then increase the dosage. So suffer more in samsara and one will ultimately come to Jnanakanda after getting Vairagya. Therefore, pramanam one is Pariksha Loka. And what is the pramanam two? Tametam Vedanu Vachanena Brahmana Vividishanti Yajnena Danena Tapasa Anashakena. We saw in Brahmana Upanishad. A very important quotation. Here Yajna means karma and tapas means upasana. So all of them are meant for Vividisha Siddhyartham, to create interest in Vedanta. Entire karma kanda and upasanas are to create interest in Vedanta. Jignyasa. Interest in Vedanta is directly proportional to Vairagya towards samsara. When everything fails, in the case of, for example, a sick person, like medicines and all that, and finally the doctor also says, we tried everything, now please pray to God and inform all your near and dear. All the other patis, like the allopathy, homeopathy, naturopathy, all those patis, they all fail. The same old prayer continues. But intensity of that prayer becomes very tremendous. Therefore, tivra jignyasa, tivra mumukshutvam comes, which is directly proportional to the vairagyam towards all the other patis. And now what is the only pati they know? Venkatachalapati or Ganapati. There is actually a Ganapati called Get Well Ganapati. As a Venkatachalapati called Visa Venkatachalapati. Therefore, karma kanda and upasana kandas are valid. They are valid only not by itself, but when it is associated with sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Therefore, jnana kandasya upayatvena karma kandasya pramanya. In the Bhagavad Gita also, shreyan dravya mayati jnatyam jnana yajna parantapam sarvam karmakilam partha jnane parisamapyate. All the karmas one has to do. We don't condemn karma at all. Karma kanda one has to go through. The amount of rituals, they get validated only when you come to Jnanakanda, Vedanta. That is why Swamiji says, Jnanakanda is impossible without Karmakanda. Jnanakanda is impossible without Karmakanda. And Karmakanda is incomplete without coming to Jnanakanda. Karma includes actually Upasana also. So one should not be content with Karmakanda. If one is a sincere Karmakandi and comes to Vedanta, that person will be very successful in Vedanta. He will have Chitta Shuddhi and all that thing. So with this, the Purva Mimamsa condemnation is now over, which consists of two matams, namely the Prabhakara matam and also Kumarila Bhatta matam. And this is all as part of the commentary upon the word tu. Now we should not forget, that's what our topic is, tu. Lastly, Shankaracharya introduces one more important matam, which is more powerful than the other two. He discusses that, but he dismisses that also in the commentary. He discusses it here because this matam is very close to Purva Mimamsa matam. It is called Vrittikara matam. Vrittihi means a small commentary, like notes. The word vritti has got several meanings. Thought. Thought also is a vritti. So a small commentary is also called vritti. So vrittikara means a commentator. So vrittikara matam is a philosophy of one of the Brahma Sutra commentators. From that it is also clear that even before Shankaracharya, Prasthanatrayam existed and several famous commentators were there, and vrittikaras also were there, and this vrittikara is one of them. And it is not a proper name. As we know, it's a vrittikara is a name, it's not a proper name. We do not know the name of the commentator. Instead of saying his name is Tom, Dick and Harry, Swamiji says it to be Devadatta, Yajnadatta, Arvindodatta in Vedic parlance. So some general names. So Acharya discusses two vrittikaras throughout his commentary. And one vrittikara, he is a jnana karma samuchayavadi. He integrates jnana and karma, who is heavily discussed in his Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam. Acharya discusses him in the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam. But that we will not do it here. But we will see another vrittikara matam, which is more relevant here, which Acharya will discuss. That we will see in the next class. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate.